Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Ali Awad, the CEO Lawyer. Today, I'm going to talk about all the times that I got ripped off. I'm going to tell you about this trip that I was just on last week. I went to Italy and Istanbul. So I spent three weeks in Italy, a week in Istanbul, so total about a month. And there were obviously beggars everywhere you go. I mean, there's beggars right down the street, you know, to where I live. It's normal. But the beggars in foreign countries are on a different level. The beggars in Istanbul were on another level. So there was always people begging for money. And for me, when I see a young man, like in their 20s, 30s, or 40s, that looks completely healthy, walking up to me begging for money, my perception is automatically, what are you begging for? Go work. Like, that's just what I'm thinking. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. We're having a normal conversation. You can go and work. The same effort you're putting into shaking that cup, you can go and get to work. Now, it's different when I see women and children and older people. Like, those people probably, or, you know, people with disabilities, I feel differently for those people. But young, capable men should never be begging. There's no excuse for that. And so when I first landed in Istanbul, the moment I got out of the car, this young guy came up to me, started talking to me in Arabic. Like, he could tell I was Middle Eastern, and was like, you know, please, you know, I need money. Just got here. I'm an immigrant, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I did give him money because I felt bad for him, but I was like, man, I shouldn't have done that. Like, that's it. I'm not going to do that anymore. So I made a decision, a conscious decision. I'm not going to give beggars any more money while I was there, because there were just a lot everywhere, and I wasn't going to work out. But then I saw this woman with her like 1-year-old baby in front of a trash can with a trash bag open and like picking through the trash, and it seemed like she was picking through the bread and feeding it to her baby. And my wife saw it and she just started crying because she couldn't believe that this person is so poor that they're literally eating from the trash. So I immediately got all the money that was in my pocket and just gave it to her. And, you know, I made a prayer and said, you know, God bless you. And we kept walking. Next day, we're leaving our hotel and we see another lady in front of the trash can with a trash bag open, picking through some food. And my wife said, did you hear her on the phone just now? I'm like, I didn't hear. I was just now. She's like, okay, well, let's just walk up and then just wait. As soon as this lady saw us, she like stared straight at the bread and the food and the trash can, just like pretended like she was busy with it. And so we walked up a little bit up the street and we looked back and we noticed that all she was doing was just playing with the bread with this trash bag open in the middle of the street so everyone could see her. And we thought, oh my goodness, these people are hustling us. They're pretending like they're eating from the trash and they're basically begging for money subconsciously without you even knowing that they're taking advantage of you. And I'm like, I got ripped off yesterday. Like, that lady made me feel, and she had a 1-year-old baby with her, so I felt really bad because my son is 1 year old, you know? So I couldn't help it. And there is a part of me that believes if you give people money 99 times out of 100, and those 99 people use that money for nefarious purposes and not in goodwill, that's not on you. You made the intention to help them. But as long as one out of those 100 end up actually needing the money and using it for good, then it's worth it. But man, I hate feeling ripped off. And then, so the next day, we're walking up that street, and I noticed on that street, exactly where she was sitting, there was a spray-painted circle and an X, as if they know where's the highest traffic areas, and so this is the place where you need to sit down, bring your bag of trash, and it wasn't even trash, it was just bread that she, you know, spread out on the floor to make it seem like she was begging and going through trash. Like, look, my office is in downtown Atlanta. I know when someone is so broke and homeless that they're actually digging through the trash to eat. You can see those people. You can smell those people. And so, yeah, those people, I'll come up and say, hey, you know, here's some money. Can I get you some food? And they are so happy for it. So, yeah, I mean, I got ripped off in Istanbul. But let me tell you about the first time I went to Egypt. So 2015, I'm studying abroad, actually in Istanbul first. And at that time, there were a lot more Syrians and Arabs there because they had, all, you know, they were all fleeing Syria because of the war. And I actually had a much better time in 2015 than I did recently when I went. But while I was studying abroad in 2015, I decided I'm not going to go back to the US after just spring break. I want to spend another week since I'm already on this side of the world. So I'm chilling at my hotel trying to figure out where I want to go. Do I want to go to Lebanon? No. Do I want to go to Palestine? I'd love to, but I don't really, you know, have much family there that I can quickly connect with. I wanted to go to an Arabic-speaking country, and somehow I decided, let's try Egypt. I haven't seen the pyramids. You know, everyone talks about Alexandria, and so let's go. So I booked a flight from Istanbul to Egypt, and the very moment that I landed, it was like a swarm of bees on honey, and I'm the honey. And so, and the bees were cab drivers. And so the moment you get off the plane, these guys are running up to you. Taxi, a bit. Ice taxi? Ice taxi, a bit? Wallahi, ice taxi. Like, they're like, do you want a taxi? Come on, let me help you. Let me take care of you. And no matter where you say you're from, they're going to say, oh, these are the best people. You could be like, hey, man, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Neptune. Oh, the most beautiful people come from Neptune. And this is how they hustle you. They're just like, they have like a sweet tongue. So I would tell them that I'm from Palestine, because if I told them I was American, they would literally rip me off. And I never took out my passport while I was traveling in these foreign countries. There's a little tip. But I did decide, hey, look, I just landed in Egypt. The first thing I want to do is go see the pyramids. And so I told the cab driver, I want to go to the Giza. He's like, okay. And I was like, how much is it going to cost? He's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, no, tell me how much it's going to cost. And I'm like, you know, we kept negotiating back and forth. Finally, we agreed on a number, and I got in his car and we dipped out. When we got there, he said, okay, well, first, I'm just going to take you to this shop. The Giza is right there behind you, but let's just go to this shop first, because, you know, it's a really, really nice guy. They'll take care of you, get you, you know, like a tea and drinks and food and whatever. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And so it's like 5, 6 p.m. when I get there, get to the shop, and the pyramids are literally right outside. And so the shop, supposedly, they have these little tours where they say, we'll give you like a horse ride or a camel ride around the pyramid so you can kind of get pictures and experience the whole thing. And it took me like 2 hours to get out of that shop because they kept trying to sell me this papyrus paper. Now, papyrus paper, or warak bardi in Arabic, is basically paper that comes from these papyrus trees in Egypt, and it's... there's this really like extensive process that you go through to make this paper, and they do this art that's handwritten on it. And he was trying to sell me these big art pieces of art that had verses of the Quran on them. And the first time he showed me one, he's like, oh, this is like handmade, it's exceptional quality, blah, blah, blah. And I liked it because it's the first time I was in Egypt. I'm like, okay, I'll take one, sure. He's like, oh, this one, I'll do it for $10,000. I'm like, seriously? He's like, no, but for you, I'll give you a great deal, man. For you, I'll do it for five. And I'm like, I don't have $5,000. That's just ridiculous. And he went from $5,000 to $4,000 to $3,000 to $2,000 to $800 to $600 to $200. From $10,000 to $200. And finally, I'm like, dude, I just don't want it. He's like, just name a price. Name whatever price. He was literally trying to hustle me for anything that he possibly could. And after spending about a week in Egypt, I realized the actual cost for those big pieces of paper is probably like $20. And he was trying to charge me like $10,000. So I was trying to leave, but, you know, culturally, if someone offers you tea and they're trying to take care of you, it's very disrespectful to just get up and leave. And I was in a foreign country, so I didn't even know how to get out. Needless to say, when I finally told him, look, I just want to get like a horse ride to the Giza, he's like, fine, you know, we'll do it for you for, you know, $100. I'm like, okay, fine. Well, we went outside and now it's dark. I'm like, so they literally hustled me for like 2 hours to try to get me to buy this papyrus paper. I paid them the $100. And by the time you go outside, it's dark. You can't even see the pyramids anymore. So that was like my first experience when I landed in Egypt. I ended up going back the next day so I can, you know, take pictures. It cost me like maybe $10 to get a horse ride, you know, around the pyramids. But Egyptians by far were like the most aggressive hustlers that I've ever seen. And that's, it's honestly, it's normal because there's so much poverty there. The same thing happened to me in Morocco. The same thing happens in Turkey when you meet all these Syrians and Palestinians and people from other countries. But, I mean, I feel like those people don't really have, like, any religiosity, and they're not God-fearing people. Because if all you're doing is just ripping people off and taking advantage of them for their money, like, I don't think you're ever going to be blessed. I don't think God's ever going to really provide for you. And you're always going to be caught in some sort of trouble one way or the other. So, I mean, I kind of feel bad for those people, but I'm going to give a big warning to anyone that travels to Egypt, Morocco. Honestly, like, any Arab country that's not in the Gulf region, you're going to get ripped off for sure, for sure. Especially if you're like blonde hair, blue eyes, you know? So I would never take my wife and my kid to Egypt. Definitely not. Unless I had family there or I had someone there that was telling me where to go and they were taking, like, guiding us. Definitely would not go there for tourism. So Istanbul, ripped off. Egypt, ripped off. Where else have I gotten ripped off? I'll tell you the first time I got ripped off. The first time I ever got ripped off was when I was 19 years old. And this was when I was still running a car audio wholesale business. I decided at age 18 that I wanted to do something more than just the retail business with my brothers. So I opened a company called AMD Wholesalers, and I decided to start buying car audio products and electronics from distributors and selling them to other people. So I would fill up my mom's car, fill up the trunk of the car with capacitors, amplifiers, speakers, radios, head units, whatever I had. And I would just drive around city of Chattanooga, go visit all these shops, and try to literally sell, cold sell from the trunk of my car. And about 6 months into the business, I realized it was really hard to sell to small shops, because if someone places an order for like $600 and you're making like 40 bucks off of it and they have one return and you got to process that return, ship it back to the manufacturer, you just don't make any money on wholesale unless you're moving a lot of volume. So I met this guy, somehow, this Palestinian guy in New Orleans that had a shop. I think it was called House of Sounds in New Orleans. And, you know, they were like, hey, we want to work with you. We want to buy some equipment. So I filled up my trailer with car audio equipment and drove from Dalton, Georgia, all the way to New Orleans. This the first time I went with my dad and my brother. And when we got there, we saw the shop, we saw the clients that they had, and we even helped them like with making a couple of sales from the stuff that was in the trailer. So we made sure that they were making money. They paid us, it was like $18,000 for that transaction. We got to know their family. We went to the mosque and prayed together side by side. For all intents and purposes, we basically became friends from our Palestinian culture and heritage and our religion. We just all connected. Well, a few months later, they call me and say, hey, we'd like to place another order. This time it was even higher, for $25,000. So I'm like, all right, let's go. I fill up the car. And I guess I drove there because it was cheaper than shipping everything, and I like to get on the road. So I drove over to New Orleans, unloaded all the equipment, talked to the guys, everything was cool. And when it came time for the payment, they handed me a stack of checks and said, these checks are post-dated. So don't deposit any of these checks right now. Just wait a week, 2 weeks, and then, you know, you can deposit the first one for $1,000, $2,000, whatever it was. I'm like, okay, cool. I trust you. We have a relationship. I get back home, wait a week, 2 weeks, try to deposit the first check. It bounced. I get hit with a $35 non-sufficient fund fee. Call the guy. Hey, man, you gave me these checks, and there's no money in the account. He's like, oh, my bad, bro. You know, we actually ended up having to close that account and created a new account. I'll send you some new checks from the new account. I'm like, okay, so what do I do with all the checks that I currently have? Oh, they, you know, that account is closed. I'll send you some new checks. Okay, fine. A week, 2 weeks goes by. Hey, man, what's going on with the checks? Oh, man, I'm still sorry about that. Totally forgot. I'll get those mailed out to you ASAP. Day goes by. Another day goes by. I'm texting him, blowing up his phone. Now he's starting to, like, ignore me. Like, shoot, I got like $25,000 worth of merchandise. I haven't gotten paid on any of it. So he finally calls me and says, hey, man, go ahead and deposit the checks. We got that account reopened. Don't worry about it. Just go ahead and deposit the check. Okay, I go and deposit the check. Again, non-sufficient fund fee. Now I'm out $70, because every time you have a non-sufficient fund check, it bounces. You have to pay $35. That's just what the bank charges. So we keep going back and forth for months. And finally, I say, look, man, if you're trying to rip me off, bro, just tell me. I'll come back and get my equipment. If you don't want it, I'll just take it. He said, yeah, why don't you come back to New Orleans and I'll put a bullet in your head. I thought, okay, so here I am out like $25,000 worth of merchandise, 19 years old. That was like everything that I had, obviously. And the only solution is for me to go and get my equipment back and risk probably having a deadly encounter. I realize at that point I don't want to be in the car audio and wholesale business anymore, and I realize I never want to do any work unless I get paid for it. I guess that's why I do personal injury now, because State Farm's checks don't bounce. You know what I mean? So I've gotten ripped off a lot, and honestly, I think the more transactions you do, the more business you do. I've gotten ripped off by employees. I've gotten ripped off by vendors. I just got ripped off by, and I've gotten better at identifying people that I like doing business with. But honestly, the most recent person that's ripped me off is someone who actually offered to be a sponsor at my summit. And I'm not going to mention the name, but they know who they are if they're watching this. And they offered to be a sponsor at my CEO Lawyer Summit. So they paid the amount. I gave them a discounted rate because they kept negotiating. They offered me some things that they claimed was only exclusive to me, but then they ended up offering it to everyone, taking a discount on, you know, in exchange for something. So boom, they're already lying about something. And then every single day they'd blow up my phone asking to share their content on social media and give them shout outs, get on the podcast, whatever it was, like every single, and they would use my cell phone. And it's like, look, you shouldn't be calling the CEO of a company every single day when you have all these other channels of communication to other people. And they would have their employees reach out to me. Finally, like a week before the summit, after I'd already printed off all the materials, posted their stuff on the website, talked about them on social media, gotten their name printed on all the promotional materials, t-shirts, hats, beanies, everything, they said, oh, we're not interested in the summit anymore because you told us there was going to be 700 lawyers there, when in reality there's only going to be 400 lawyers there. So it's not really worth it for us anymore. Like, that's, I never ever told you that. I've been very clear. Everything is on the website. All the information is there. I've been completely honest with you from the very beginning. I've given you all of these things. They say, yeah, I'm sorry, it's just not going to work out. I'm like, there's no refund option here. I can't give you your money back. I've already invested it in the equipment, in promoting you, everything. And basically what they did was they used their payment that they had given me as leverage to get stage time to speak at my conference. They said, look, the only way that we're going to do this is, you know, if you give us stage time to come and speak at the conference. And at that point, I knew what had happened to me. I got hustled. I got taken advantage of. And I didn't want to make it into a big deal because I already had their name on. Like, they already got the benefit of being at the summit. And I'm not going to go through all of the shirts and clear, you know, wipe out their name and remove their name on the website. And like, that would have caused so much additional work for me. And then I still have to give them a refund. I'm not going to do that. So when that happened and I realized that they were taking advantage of me and trying to use me for the exposure that they would get on the CEO Lawyer Summit stage, at that point I realized I'm never going to do business with these people again. And it's so funny because had they just been honest and direct with me from the very beginning, they would have gotten over 100 times more value from working with me than by just trying to rip me off and just jump over that dollar to pick up a nickel. And so I knew that I never wanted to do business with those people again. And to this day, they're begging me to come and be a sponsor at my next summit, but absolutely not. You rip me off one time, shame on you. You rip me off twice, shame on me. So one piece of advice that I can give you from the years of business and travel and exposure that I've gotten in so many different interactions is this. Don't be surprised when you get ripped off. It's going to happen. But never, never get ripped off the same way twice. I'm Attorney Ali Awad, the CEO Lawyer. That's our show for today. Join us on the next one where we take it back to talking about employees, retention, and the five tips that I have to keeping my employees happy in my firm that leads us to exponential growth. Take care, and I'll see you on the next one.